won't be any service for Tim Young until perhaps the summer. Brother Larry will put Deanna's address on the bulletin board for anyone that wants to send her a card. But do be in prayer for Deanna and also Debbie and the other children as well. This time we'd like to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 9, book of Acts, chapter 9. I'd like to read the first six verses. And Saul yet, or continuing, breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. The reason he did that was he desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go to the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. What we read here, of course, is the record of the salvation experience of Saul of Tarsus, who would later become known as Paul the Apostle. And he would be used of God to write much of the New Testament and have an effect on an innumerable multitude of people until Jesus comes. Saul of Tarsus was the most zealous in persecuting the saints of God. Yet he would become perhaps the greatest and the most zealous missionary amongst the Gentiles. And he would be greatly used, still being used today, for the furtherance of the gospel. What we read here is the record of what changed the course of his life. Therefore, what we read here is one of the most important events recorded in Scripture. We want to gather our thoughts today from verses 3 through 5, and also from a portion of Paul's own testimony before a multitude in Acts 22, if we turn there, verses 6 through 8. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And we also want to take our thoughts from his testimony before King Agrippa in Acts chapter 26. We'll read verses 12 through 15. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And we were all fallen to the earth. I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. I want to notice some specific things from these verses, and we'll just mention these in passing, but they set the stage for what we're about to preach. The first thing we want to notice in all three of these verses, and it goes without saying, it's always so, but Paul was somewhere, and he was going somewhere. Acts chapter 9, verse 3, he says, And has he journeyed? In 22 and 6, has I made my journey? He was headed somewhere and was come nigh to Damascus. He was somewhere. Acts 26, verse 13. I saw in the way. So he was somewhere and he was going somewhere. As this was transpiring, something supernatural occurred. In Acts 9, verse 3, we read, And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Supernatural event. Acts 22 and verse 6, Suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And in Acts 26 and verse 13, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me. This was a supernatural light. The light is said to be a great light above the brightness of the sun. And we've already read that it was about noon at this time. Above the brightness of the sun. Greater in light and brightness than the noonday sun. It was a light that could be seen. It was a light that could be felt. All three places we see that this light shined round about him. That is, Saul was engulfed in this light. He could not escape this light. We see also that there was an immediate effect upon Saul. He fell to the earth in Acts 9, verse 4. Acts 22 and verse 7, And I fell to the ground. In Acts 26, before Agrippa, he says, And when we were all fallen to the earth. So Saul, seeing and feeling the power and the intensity of that light, was overwhelmed. He was overpowered. He was conquered. His entire life was changed by the presence of that light. And that light was Jesus. All three accounts, Paul saw, heard the voice saying, I am Jesus. Jesus is the light of the world. And this light is Jesus. From this, we want to make a twofold application. One to the unsaved, and two to the saved. The subject this morning will be the light of Christ's presence. The light of Christ's presence. First of all, we will consider the unsaved. Consider the condition that Saul is in as he's walking down this road to Damascus. though it was daytime, Saul was trapped in spiritual darkness. Throughout the scripture, of course, darkness is used to represent sin, evil, wickedness, corruption, guilt, error, blindness, ignorance, confusion, danger, misery, death, and that which is satanic. Saul was a religious man, but like all the unsaved, Saul was in a state of sin. He was in a state of wickedness and corruption. Saul was guilty. Saul was a depraved individual, living in the state of error, living in a state of ignorance and blindness. He was in a state of misery. He was alienated and estranged from God. Spiritually bankrupt, and he was under the spell of satanic forces. He was living in a state of death, and he was perishing, and he was held deserving. He's on a journey. He's on a journey. And while he's on this journey, he's filled with enmity. He's filled with rebellion toward Christ. And he is living in defiance of Christ. In fact, in his testimony before Agrippa, in Acts chapter 26 and verse 9, he said, "Verily I thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth." He said, "I was constantly thinking in myself to do things that were contrary to the name of Jesus." He was a man who hated Jesus Christ. He was a man who hated all those who identified with Christ. He was a man who hated all of those who preached Christ. And he was a man who hated those who lived the life of Christ. He was a man filled with hatred toward Christ. We are introduced to Saul in Acts chapter 7. We're not going to turn there for time's sake. But in Acts chapter 7, that's the first time we see this man, Saul. And he's seen there holding the garments of those who stoned Stephen to death. So Saul was there when Stephen was stoned to death. You can read Acts chapter 7, and Saul, before he was stoned, he preached. Saul heard that message that day. He heard the message of Stephen. And he saw those Jews madly rush upon him. And he saw Stephen being pelted with stones until he died. He heard it all. He saw it all. And he was in agreement with it all. Acts 8 verse 1, immediately following the death of Stephen, "And Saul was consenting unto his death." That is, in the heart of Saul, he was rejoicing. He was in agreement with what had happened. And this is very important, because I believe Saul could never get away from the words of Stephen. And it filled his heart with hatred toward Christ. Saul was on the side of the Jews who wanted to stamp out Christianity in the name of Christ. He was an avowed enemy of Christ. He was enraged against the people of Christ. We read in Acts chapter 8 and verse 3 that he made havoc. And that word havoc, what it's doing here is it's likening Saul to a wild animal who would go in and root or drive out his enemies from his territory. And this is what Saul was doing. He made havoc, entering into every house, inhaling, dragging men and women, committed them to prison. So following the death of Stephen, Saul's hatred was intensified, and he began to hunt down the Lord's people. And he would take away husbands from their wives, and fathers from their children, and wives from their husbands, and mothers from their children, and he would cast them into prison. And he was becoming more and more zealous in his persecution. So zealous that now he was willing to go outside of Jerusalem to hunt these people down. We read in Acts chapter 9 verses 1 and 2 that he's getting ready to head to Damascus. Before doing so, he would go to the chief priest and he would get authority to go into Damascus and arrest anyone that he found that would proclaim or speak or identify in any way with the name Christ. And he would head to Damascus. He said in his testimony before the multitude in Acts 22 and verse 4, he said, I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering in prisons both men and women. He also made reference to his persecuting before Agrippa. Notice in Acts 26, verses 10 and verse 11. Which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints that I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. I chased them. I hunted them down even unto strange cities. He wrote in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 9, I persecuted the church of God. In Galatians 1 and verse 13, he said, for ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure, beyond calculation, I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. He's saying, you can't even imagine the persecution that I rendered against the churches of the Lord. He said in Philippians 3 and verse 6 that he was zealous in persecuting the church. He declared to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 13 that he was a blasphemer, that he was a persecutor, and that he was injurious. And in Acts chapter 9, after Saul is been saved by the Lord, you remember that the Lord went to Ananias. And the Lord told Ananias, I want you to go down. And he gave him the place to go. And he said, there you will find the man Saul. And I want you to say such and such to him. And Saul's reply was, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. From all of this, we see that Saul was a man who had great animosity and utter contempt for Christ and his people. Coming to Acts chapter 9, this man Saul, with hatred raging in his heart toward Christ and toward the followers of Jesus Christ, he has now received letters authorizing his mission of persecution. And he sets out from Jerusalem to Damascus. Damascus was about 160 miles northeast of Jerusalem. Saul was willing to make that trip. 160 miles. And I imagine that as he's on that journey, and it is a journey of hatred, it is a journey of persecution, and I imagine as he gets closer and closer to Damascus, he's getting excited. Going to arrest these people. Saul was not seeking Jesus Christ. In your wildest imagination, you cannot read Acts chapter 9, you cannot read Acts chapter 7 and Acts chapter 8 and even imagine that Saul was seeking Christ. So there he is on his journey. Again, he was not seeking Christ. He was seeking to destroy the name of Christ. We read in Acts 9 and verse 3, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. Acts 22 and verse 6, it was when he was come nigh unto Damascus. So God allowed Saul and his entourage to travel approximately 160 miles. On a mission of hatred and destruction. But God would interrupt his journey. We read, suddenly, without any warning, as they're walking along, with hearts filled with hatred, suddenly there was a light brighter than the sun. And it was everywhere. In his testimony before Agrippa, he said, I saw in the way. That is, in the way of my sin, in the way of my guilt, in the way of my blindness, in the way of my ignorance, in the way of my estrangement from God, in my way of resistance, in my way of death, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me. Again, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. It was Jesus that showed up that day. Jesus was there. And we are told that Saul, seeing and no doubt feeling the intensity of Christ's presence, he's not seeking Christ. He fell to the ground. He was knocked to the ground, folks. And he heard a voice. And it was the very voice of Christ confronting him with his sin. Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He's confronting him with his sin. Saul is overcome with this light that is round about him. He has been brought face to face with his sin. And all of this, being under the power of this light, causes Saul to say,
Who art thou, Lord?
And with the light of Christ's presence engulfing Saul, and he couldn't escape. He couldn't escape. When it comes to this point, there's no getting away. There's no getting away. Saul, there was nowhere for Saul to go. This is what happens when the Lord saves a sinner. He interrupts your journey. And there is no place for you to go. He is under the power of this light. And he heard these words, "I am Jesus." Oh, he hated that name. "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." Saul, I am Jesus, the one that you hate, the one that you are so zealous against. Saul, I am Jesus. God's provision and sacrifice for your sins. Saul, I am Jesus, the one and only Savior for guilty sinners such as yourself. Saul, I am the one that you need. Saul, I am the remedy. I am the solution to your greatest need. I am Jesus. May I say that Saul would have continued on his journey of hatred if the Lord had not interrupted. And you and I that are saved today, we would have continued on our hell-bound journey had not the Lord interrupted our journey. So all the glory goes to Him. Because just like Saul, the day I walked in that funeral home, I was filled with hatred. I was not seeking Christ. But He sought me. And I could not get away. And that's how it is. When the Lord saves a sinner, Saul would have continued, but Christ stepped in and put a stop to it. If you're here and unsaved, you're on a journey, and it's not a good one. It is a hell-bound journey. And I pray that Jesus Christ would interrupt your journey. I pray that Jesus Christ's presence would invade your darkness. Oh, how we ought to praise His name, you and I that are saved, that one day He interrupted, and He not only interrupted, but He changed my hell-bound journey. He gave me a different journey. Oh, if you're here today and lost, this is what you need. This is what you need. You need the light of Christ's presence. And not, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not implying that when you're saved you'll see bright lights. I am saying you will come under the influence of the presence of Jesus Christ, and you will feel the intensity and the power of that presence. Secondly, we want to make application to the saved. Again, Saul was somewhere. He was going somewhere. And all of us today that are saved, we are currently somewhere spiritually. Every one of us are somewhere spiritually. And you know what? Everything I do and everything I think leads to somewhere. Sometimes somewhere isn't very good. But be sure of this. We're all somewhere spiritually. And we're all headed somewhere spiritually. We're on a journey. Examine your life. Where are you? Where are you headed? What direction is your journey going? Some of God's people are not in a very good place. They're somewhere, it's not a very good place. And they're headed in a wrong direction. There are those of God's people saved that are on a journey of sin, a journey of departure from God, a journey of backsliding, a journey of rebellion, a journey of resistance, a journey of spiritual decline, a journey of self, a journey of worldliness, a journey of coldness, a journey of carnality, a journey of bitterness, a journey of wandering aimlessly, a journey that is going to take them in the cold, dark depths. They are on a journey of waste. A journey that, if it continues, will lead to the hog pen. A journey of destruction. A journey of darkness. I assure you today that there are some sitting here right now, and that describes your journey. And just like Saul, he's getting further and further down the road. God let him go till he got just outside of Damascus. 160 miles, several days of traveling. And you're traveling down that road and you're getting further and further down the road. If this is the road that you are traveling today, I pray that Christ would interrupt your journey by his conquering presence, just as he did here with Saul. I pray that the light of Jesus Christ would engulf your road and yourself. This is what happened to Saul. I pray that he would burst upon your road in such a way that you would see and feel the power and the intensity and the influence of his presence surrounding you. So much so that you cannot escape. And that you would listen. And that you would hear that voice. I am Jesus. I am Jesus. Child of God, I am Jesus, the one who came to this sin-cursed earth for you and lived a perfect life of righteousness for you and went to the cross with your sins for you and paid your sin debt that you could not pay. I am Jesus. I am Jesus who rose victorious over the death and grave for you. I am Jesus who ascended back into heaven for you. And now sit at the right hand of God for you. Oh, if you're on a journey today of rebellion, if you are on a journey of resistance, if you are on a journey of backsliding, if you are on a journey of sin away from God, I pray that the light would engulf your path and that you would feel the presence of Jesus Christ. And that you would hear Jesus saying, I am Jesus, the one that you are trying to get away from. I am He. I am He. And you have no place to go. The only thing you can do at this point is either die or get right. And oh, we need that today. For the Lord to just burst upon our road and that we would feel the power of His presence. Some are traveling down the road. Again, we're all someplace. And our place may be a journey of burden. It may be a place of sorrow. It may be a place of heartache, and it might just be a very, very difficult place, a place of trial, a place of extreme pressure. We may be journeying down a road and our whole road is engulfed in a storm, and it's just a place of struggle, a place of upheaval. And if that be your place today, I pray that Christ would burst upon your journey and that you too would feel the power and the presence of Jesus Christ. And that you would hear Jesus say, I am Jesus. I am Jesus. The one who is triumphantly over all. I am Jesus, the one who goes beyond all. I am Jesus, the one who is greater than all. I am Jesus, your Savior, your Redeemer. Your shepherd, your advocate, your friend. I am Jesus, remember me? Oh, that we would feel, that we would experience the power of this. I am Jesus, the one who has brought more hope and more comfort and more cheer than anyone else. I am Jesus, the one who has dried more tears than anyone else. I am Jesus, the one who brings hope to hopeless situations. I am Jesus, the one who brings strength to the weak and rest to the weary and relief to those who are in anguish. I am the one who can bring joy into sorrow and peace and order in the chaos. Oh, that we would feel the power of His presence. That we would see the brightness of His glory on our journey. When that happens, it changes everything. I am glad. Above glad. When I was lost, filled with hatred, not seeking Jesus Christ, wanting absolutely nothing to do with Him, despising the message of Christ, that He interrupted my journey and changed it completely. Since that day, be 40 years in just a few days. Since that day, there have been many, 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 many times, sad to say, ashamed to say, that I began a journey away from God. And I realized God allowed Saul to go 160 miles. That's a long way in those days before he interrupted the journey. I'm glad up to this point the Lord has never let me go too far. Oh, I would have. I would have, and you would have too. So many times I began a journey. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. And Christ interrupted. And doing so, He saved my life. You see, He saved my soul when he saved me, of course. But I can't tell you how many times, more times than I know, that He saved my life. Because I would have done things that would have ruined my life. But He interrupted. And there have been many times you just get up in the morning and, you know, I feel like taking a journey today down Self-Pity Road. And there we go. Some have been on that journey for many years. I'm glad the Lord's never let me travel that journey too far. Up to this point, oh, He's let me go several days. You know, there are times you go those days and you think, Dan, you know better than this. You just keep on going. Then it happens. Jesus Christ interrupts the journey. And you hear Him say, I am Jesus. And He changes your journey. I am so, so thankful. I would not be here today if it were not for Christ constantly interrupting my journey. The Lord knows. The Lord knows what you and I would do if He did not prevent us from doing it. And the Lord knows where we would be if He did not prevent us from being there. I'm so thankful. I know this is true of everybody here, but I know it's true of me. I've been on the journey of destruction many times. And don't start, oh, I wonder what he did. Been on that journey many times. But the Lord's interrupted. You know, I've got to the point now where I pray, Lord, if I start going down the wrong road, would you please interrupt it? Would you please just stop me, Lord? Because it's a wonderful thing. Oh, it may not be a pleasant thing when it happens, but it's a wonderful thing when the Lord interrupts our journey. And I pray today, if you're here and lost, oh, I pray
that Jesus Christ would interrupt your journey. Because, friend, you are on a terrible, terrible journey. And I know today that God's people can get in terrible shape. And some are on a terrible journey. There's nothing good that's going to come from that journey. God's got to intervene. Oh, I pray that if that be your journey today, that the Lord would interrupt your journey. I pray that perhaps you're on a journey of faithfulness and you're faithfully serving God. But even when we're on that journey, we still need the Lord to come and just give us some encouragement. So I pray that wherever we are today, that we would feel the Lord's presence in our midst. Brother Larry, if you'd come and